This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 39 reads this way. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, asking for your blessing, your guidance, that we might, Lord, worship you by the power of your Holy Spirit and in truth, Lord, that we might hear from you and that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we would be found faithful when you return, and Lord, that you might use our lives to bring others to you in salvation. So, Lord, bless your people this morning. Build your church here at Northwood Baptist Church, and Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message here is simply "The Salvation of Many Because of the Testimony of One." A little bit of a long title there, but really it's the working of the Lord that brings people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Without God opening up our understanding, we are walking in the dark. And by the way, it's dark, amen, pitch black without the light of the Lord. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so we're basically going to see another way to phrase the title would be simply the testimony of God. That's God's testimony, his promise that he said he would do and bring into the world to all, and that those who would believe would have the eternal life in them. So one of the greatest truths I believe that we can grasp is that God himself is the source of all that is worth having. Think about that. All that's worth having, God himself is the source. And yet he's created us to be able to make things and build things and enjoy things. But the greatest possession that anybody can ever have is the Lord himself. By the way, he not only does he give us all good gifts, but he gave us the best gift, and that is life itself, isn't it? And then, of course, eternal life. And it delights the Lord to fill our lives with every good and perfect gift. You heard that before, right? Every good gift, every perfect gift, right, comes from the Father above. And so we, Father of lights, and we thank the Lord for that. So back up with me here and go with me to verse 1 and notice what's happening here. The Lord is working in the life of this woman. And not only is she going to work in her life, but she's also going to work in the lives of the disciples as well. The Lord knows everything that's going on. And so here we find a woman's broken life, and the Lord's getting ready to do something. If the Lord never came by that way, where would her life be? It would still be broken, wouldn't it? eternally broken without the Lord's intervention. So we need the Lord to intervene and touch our lives and give us light. And by the way, once we receive the light of God, don't we still need light to walk by and to live by and to grow in? So we continually need the light of God in our lives. So notice verse 1, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." So he's going from the south of Judea, he's going up to Galilee. But notice what it says here in verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." So all along through life, God gives us and has opportunities for us to honor and glorify his name. But the question is, are we aware of that? God wants us to be aware of that. And we'll notice that when we look at the lives of the disciples. And so God is basically not wanting us to miss out on what life is really all about. And it begins, first of all, with our personal walk, not just having a personal walk, but our daily personal walk with the Lord and our communion with him, so that we can be on the same page or in tune or in sync with what he's trying to do in our lives. We need more light for that, or we might miss what God has for us. So in this particular case, I want you to see that this lady here had no idea what was getting ready to happen to her this day, did she? But God wanted this to take place in her life, and Jesus was, you know, traveling, and he made the opportunity. He sat there on the well, and this opportunity arose. Of course, we know that the Lord knows what's going to take place, but likewise, you and I never know what one day may bring forth and what God would do in the days and every day that we live to honor and glorify him and to enjoy bringing others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 7, it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of an unusual approach, isn't it? I mean, she doesn't know him, and he knows her, though, doesn't he? And he knows her quite well. And he knows, the Lord knows exactly what to do and what to say to bring us to the place to where we are ready to receive him and hear from him what he has to say. By the way, that's why we need the Lord, that we might be in tune with him to be able to say and do the right things, just like he did for the Apostle Paul. Have we not been given the same salvation? Many times in the New Testament, Paul's writing, we have the same salvation. We have the same grace. We have the same Savior, and God has the same plan for our lives, and that is, of course, to enjoy the salvation that God has given to us, and in the process of enjoying that, to bring others to enjoy the same salvation. So he says, "Give me to drink," verse 8, "for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." So we know where they're at. So listen, look at what the Lord is doing, and the Lord is working in the life of this lost woman. By the way, he's also going to be working with this town as well, and he's also going to be working with his disciples. The Lord has all that in his plans. Isn't that something? God has every person in mind for a plan and a purpose to glorify his name, and that's amazing in and of itself, but then also to bless our lives and to give us more light, more wisdom, and more understanding, because the more light we have, the more we can enjoy our relationship with the Lord God Almighty. So notice what happens right here. Verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know that the Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile, and they were kind of a despised group by the Jews. They were shunned. And so, you know, she wasn't taken that he was asking her for a drink. She was talking to him and asking and thinking, "Why would you have any dealings with me?" Because none of the Jews would have ever done that. You know, God God wants us to get involved in people's lives, maybe like other people would never even think about doing, to stop and think about the eternal souls and the well-being for people that are going to leave this life. And if they leave it without the Lord Jesus Christ, they have eternal death. And you know, listen, that's the bottom line. Everybody's going to have an eternal existence. It might be eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ or eternal death without the Lord Jesus Christ. But everybody's going to have an existence. So when we put that in the light of perspective, the Lord was tired, was he not? He had been traveling. He was thirsty. But you know, listen, he was focused. He was working all of this out to bring this woman to a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we may grow tired, but I will tell you, there's no better work than to tell others by the Spirit of God their need for eternal life and for them to get saved and for us to rejoice with them once we see the Lord face to face in heaven. Because of God's grace in our life, we're able to share that into the lives of others. So she's saying, I've got a question. I'm concerned. I don't understand what you're doing. And notice what the Lord does. More important than this separation or this ostracization here that's happening from the Jewish people to the Samaritans here. More important than that, Jesus says, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, stop right there. It is a gift of God, is it not? And so he was wanting her to know about the gift of God. So what's really on his mind? He is thirsty, he is tired, but you know what's on his heart and mind? The gift of eternal life, is it not? That she might know the gift of God. So, if thou knewest the gift of God, notice this, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, this is important. Because the Lord is who he is, and by the way, he wants to do this in our life, he was doing everything to bring her unto himself, was he not? And so he wanted her to understand who he was. So now there are some things that she's contemplating. Remember, the first thought she thought was, he's a Jew. And so no doubt she could look at him and see he was a Jew, and he should have had nothing to do with her. But more important than what this discrimination was her eternal life. And now he is saying, the Lord is saying to her, if you would know, if you would have known who it is that's speaking to you. So now he's got her attention, right? He's pointing her to who he is. And by the way, that's what God wants us to do. Listen, if you would know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. See, the world thinks that we have a belief. And the world, and we do have a belief. The world thinks we have a faith. But the problem is, in their thinking, they think that we're hoping in something that we've never seen or have no clue about, and we're just hoping this is just the way it's going to be. But I want you to know that God wants us to know that we have eternal life. And by the way, only God can do that for us, and when we know, there's no doubt, and then we can really enjoy life. We can really enjoy life because we know him as our Savior. We know where we're headed towards, and we're going to also want other people to know as well. So as we see this right here, he's confronting her. He says, I would have given you this living water had you known who it is that's talking to you. Now, he's not saying because you didn't know, you're not going to get it, because she does get it, doesn't she? So he is wanting her to inquire. He is wanting her to seek, because if she seeks, that causes her to use her faith or her trust in who she's talking to. And so likewise also, God is wanting us to use our faith, our trust in the Lord, to call upon him and say, Lord, I need you to give me more light, more wisdom, more understanding. Why? So that I can walk just the way I've always walked all my life, or so that he can change my direction. He's wanting to change our direction. He wants to give us light. Why? So that we can walk in the light. He's wanting us to have a different life. And by the way, did he want this woman to have a different life? Beginning with eternal life, but then, of course, making an influence on this side of eternity as well. And so, verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this thou that living water. That living water. So what's she talking about? She is talking about that living water. Do you think she's starting to put a little bit of stock now? I'd like to know a little bit more about that living water that you talked about. And I'm a little bit perplexed here because you don't have anything to draw with to give me that living water. I think she's a little bit interested in that living water that the Lord was talking about. And that is, again, the work of the Lord. And by the way, we need the Lord in our lives in order to bring people by the Spirit of God to ask for that living water. And so now she's got, all of a sudden now, she's got a different idea of life and has a different idea of what she was doing, right? She was going there to get water, and now she's engaging the Lord in this conversation concerning that living water. She has, in a positive way, she has taken the bait, amen? She has, in a positive way, right? She's not getting trapped, but she has taken what the Lord is offering, and now, and by the way, that's that little spark of fire, that's that life, and the Lord is going to fan the flames as long as she's seeking and being inquisitive about this eternal life. And so, and she doesn't fully understand what it's all about. I believe she's thinking at this particular point that this man is a man who knows what he's talking about, and I'm interested in this, but she's probably thinking more along the lines of temporal blessings, right, instead of eternal blessings, and she's going to get both. But notice what happens here, verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? So she's asking a question here, and she's interested, and she's looking for to qualify his credentials, who he is. She believes that he's somebody that's important, and she wants to know. She's asking this question. It's a question of respect. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Do you see this? She is concerned. She's knowing at the very least that God is engaged and involved in this experience. So she's not, listen, I'm convinced at this particular point, she is not even thinking about the water she came for at the very beginning. Do you? She's not looking at her watch. She didn't have a watch, but she's not looking at her watch. She's not looking at her phone. You ever see people, they want to get away from something, they start looking at their phone, like I got to go somewhere. She's not concerned about that. She is engaged with the Lord. And so she asked a question. And then Jesus, verse 13, answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. What is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing? He is wanting her to see what he's trying to give her. More important than whose well it is, because that's temporal. Even if you got water that would last you forever and you wouldn't even have to come to the well anymore, you need to have the well, the water of life, eternal life, that can only come from the Lord God himself. And so Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Notice verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Listen to this. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he is wanting her to understand what he's trying to offer her is the beginning of everlasting life. That's what he's wanting her to know. So now she is tuned in to what he's doing, right? So she had, listen, we learned this morning that the only foolish question is the question we don't ask, right? We're reminded of that anyway. And same thing with the Lord. As long as we'll ask questions to the Lord, will God not answer them? Absolutely. If we have questions concerning spiritual things, God wants us to have understanding. He has indwelt us with the Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding that we might know exactly what God is saying and wanting in our lives. And at this particular point for this woman, he is wanting her to have everlasting life, which is a tremendous thing. So now we find here, as we look to this woman, the Lord has his appointments. We saw that he showed up there, met the woman. Then we also see the Lord's revelation and his impartation of life-changing truth. This is a life-changing truth that God wants to impart into her life. By the way, listen, would you like some more, as a saved child of God, would you like some more life-changing truth? It sits right in front of us, and we need the Lord to give us more life-changing. Here's the truth, ready? God wants to impart more life-changing truth into our lives. Were the disciples saved that were following the all but Judas, right? They were saved, weren't they? And was not God trying to impart unto them more life-changing truth to give them more understanding? And he was. So he says, listen, I'm wanting you to have this everlasting life. And then notice verse 15, as we consider this, what's going on. And by the way, we're watching how this woman is engaging the Lord and how the Lord is engaging her to bring her. Listen, it's the Lord that brings us to the place where he can give us this understanding. But she is engaging the Lord in the part of seeking the Lord. And so because the Lord sees that, he is engaging her. That's the way it works. See, she has enough faith to think he's different. There's something more to him. And because the Lord saw that, he's continuing to engage her. So, again, we find here, again, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she's still looking about the physical realm, right? But he did introduce this idea of everlasting life, and that's really what the Lord is about. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. He is wanting her to know who she is speaking with. See, the Lord is more concerned about, the Lord blesses us with our physical sustenance. He's always faithful to do that. But more important than that is our spiritual sustenance. And so, notice again here as we consider this portion of Scripture, he says, Go and call the Lord, thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus answered her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Now, I don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to point out her sin. He is wanting her to know that he is the Messiah. That's who he's wanting her to know. Listen, we can tell people all day long, but they know they're sinners. We're born that way. But what they really need to know is who the Messiah is. Amen? That they might know the Savior of the world. I don't know if I've ever talked to a person and asked them about sin and them say, I have never sinned in my life. And being genuine, I have never heard anybody tell me they have not sinned. But more important than their sin is knowing the Savior from their sin, right? And so here's this engagement here between the Lord and this woman. And then he says, Jesus answered, verse 17, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. So the Lord is letting her know he knows about who she is, right? Verse 19, and again we find this woman's blessing here. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Right there, the light came on. She still doesn't know who he is, but here's what she knows now. He's a man of God. He's a man come from God, and now you've got my attention. And notice what happens here. Verse 20, she says, Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you... What is her mind on? Is it on the water or on worshiping God? Did you see that? Listen, she came there with this idea in mind to get water. Now, she's completely cast that off to the side, and she's now engaging the Lord and talking about worshiping God. Isn't that good? Listen, only God can bring people to the place where they want to talk about worship. God is the one that brings light, and by the way, he brought light into her life for her to contemplate and realize that he is at least a prophet, right? So So she comes here, and the woman saith, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now, she's still talking about the physical realm. She's talking about worship, but notice what the Lord says to her. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." So she's talking about worship, and the Lord is saying, "I'm going to show you something that's even more powerful than that. I'm going to give you something that the world really doesn't even have an idea yet of what's getting ready to happen." Notice verse 22: "Ye worship, ye know not what." You're naive to this. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." That has been given to the Jews at this particular point in history. "But the hour cometh," verse 23, "and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Did you see this? Listen. "But the hour cometh." Has it already come?
Yes.
Try that again. Has the hour already come?
Yes.
Absolutely. "And now is," the Lord is telling her, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." That's the Holy Spirit, and that's the Word of God. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And by the way, listen, there's no doubt it's the Holy Spirit. I know it's lowercase there, but if you look it up, you'll see it's talking about the Holy Spirit in conjunction with our spirit. Amen? And so that is the only way that we can truly worship the Lord according as he has directed us to. And we need the Lord to guide us in that. We won't be any better than the Pharisees. We can just kind of get off it. Did they read the Bible? Did the Pharisees read the Bible?
Yeah.
Of course they did. They memorized it, didn't they? Did they pray?
Yeah,
they prayed. Did they know the Lord? No, they did not know the Lord. See, we can cross the T's and dot the I's and miss God. So where does God come from? It is a genuine petition. "Lord, I need more light from you. I need you to show me the truth." Listen, you and I have been saved, but we want to walk more in the truth. Does God want us just to stay the same?
No.
Does he want us to grow in grace?
No.
Does he want us just to be lukewarm?
No.
Does he want us to be cold?
No.
He wants us to be hot, doesn't he?
Amen.
And who's going to make us hot? Are we going to do that ourselves?
No.
We'll never do it. But God, listen, let me ask you this question. This woman's faith, is it at least warm? It's not cold.
Right.
And it's getting hot, isn't it?
Right.
And it's getting ready to get on fire here. And that's a great thing. But God is the one that is doing that. So, verse 24, "God is a spirit," listen to this, "and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
Amen.
And that's where the truth is the Word of God. But listen, there are people that can read the Word of God and know nothing or little to nothing about the Spirit of God and how the Spirit leads. And so God is trying to make that perfectly clear in her heart and mind. "The woman saith unto him," verse 25, "I know that Messiah," where's her mind now? "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ." Listen, she said, where did that come from? The Lord's giving her that. "I know the where did her mind just went from the living water to the Messiah," and so she says, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he will tell us all things." Now watch this. "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Boom. We're talking about daylight like she's never seen before. Nothing was said, and her understanding was illuminated. Was it not? It was illuminated. It was by the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what happens now. By the way, the disciples need this light also. Verse 27, "And upon this, when the light shined into her life," the disciples are coming back. By the way, who also need more light? The disciples, they were walking with the Lord, but they needed the light of the Lord in their lives. And verse 27 again, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. See, they're old school. She's a Samaritan. Right? But notice what happens here. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? They didn't say that. Because here's what they've at least learned. If the Lord's doing it, it's right. Right? He's gone beyond man-made rules. And if the Lord's doing it, they've learned at least this part, that it's probably right, and it was right. And so what happens here? Remember what the woman got from the Lord? I that speak unto thee am he. And notice verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. Right. Forgot all about that wasn't an interest anymore. And went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the what? You think she's convinced he's the Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely. She is saying, this is the Christ. And listen, he had changed her life completely in that engagement. Listen, that's what God is in the business of doing.
Amen.
And that's more important than anything on this planet that's temporal. And I'm not saying that we ought to leave the temporal things go. We have our responsibilities, but we must not neglect the spiritual things. And so here she is. She's going back, and she comes back, and she says, hey, listen, this guy told me everything about me. She's convinced he's the Christ, and she's trying to encourage them. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Listen, why did those men come out? Because she had engaged the Lord, and the Lord had engaged her. Listen, we need to engage God, and for God to engage us, that we might truly be the light of the world and the salt of the earth that God wants us to be.
Amen.
And so listen, the problem, see, if we're not careful, we need the Lord Jesus Christ and his power. He's the builder of the church. He's the savior of souls. If we're not careful, I'm not against programs. I've said this so many times. But those things in and of themselves aren't. You can draw a crowd, but is that going to last? No, you have an event. You have these things. Unless God is engaged, unless God is touched, nothing changes. Nothing changes. And so we need the Lord to engage us, and we need to engage him that we might be able to go into places and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they get up and God moves them. Listen, this woman wasn't some great orator. She came in with a simple message that God had blessed. Amen? And it caused these people to want to come out and see. Listen, you have to remember something. Was she a woman of a good reputation? Why in the world did those men listen to her? Because God was in her. God was working and moving in and through her life. And by the way, the least likely vessel that mankind would have chosen, God chose. God chose her. And so, verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, what are they thinking about? Are they thinking about their hearts and minds are in the same place the woman was when she first went to the well. They were thinking about sustenance. And by the way, there's nothing wrong in that. But where is the mind of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? It was on spiritual things, wasn't it? It was on eternal things. So now the Lord is getting ready to work with his disciples that are accompanying with him. They said, listen, you need to eat something. But he, verse 32, said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, is that physical food or spiritual food?
Spiritual.
Isn't that something? We need spiritual food.
Amen.
Or we will dry up on the vine, and bless God, we'll be Christians and going on to heaven, but we won't influence anybody for the cause of Christ. I dare say we don't even have the message to go out and tell people about their soul. We may confront people, but we won't have the want to and no power. We need to engage the Lord personally in our lives. Lord, I don't want to just read words on a page and do my prayers. I want to engage you. I want to walk with you. And the Lord is trying to bring that about in the lives of his disciples, as well as this woman and those that were coming out to see him. And so he says to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Look at verse 33. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Where's their mind, spiritual or physical? Isn't that something? By the way, listen, without the Lord, that's where our minds will be too. Are we any better than these apostles? Without the Lord, our hearts and minds will just be on the physical. Did they know the Lord? Did they see the working of God? But they were not thinking the same way, were they? Therefore said his disciples, one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Notice, they're talking amongst themselves. Jesus chimes in, verse 34, and saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Since you asked, amen? The disciples, listen. They were completely 180 degrees away from the Lord. And what is the Lord trying to do? Bring them in. He's trying to bring his own disciples to the same understanding. The Lord is wanting them to know this meat that he has to eat of that they don't know about. The Lord wants them to know about it, and the Lord wants us to know about it as well. Because that's where the spiritual takes place. That's where God is honored and we are awed and worship. And so he says, my meat is to do the work and the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, notice what he says. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Where's the Lord's mind? On the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. But see, the problem was they weren't ready to go out there yet, but the Lord was going to show them the harvest. Notice this. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both, listen to this, he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So those, right? And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Listen, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Remember the men that were coming out? There they are. And you know what they're doing? They're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think there was a little bit of a change in their and on the expressions on their faces when they knew who it was and they trusted the Lord? Do you think the disciples knew that something had taken place in the lives of those Samaritans? If they didn't now, they're going to know in just a minute because of what they're going to ask the Lord to do. So, again, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Let's get that right there. Remember, she came into the city. They all came out. They're right there before the Lord, and they believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now, that's not the Romans road. Did they get saved? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, when I got saved, I didn't know to say, Jesus, forgive me. I knew I was a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. I put my faith and trust in the finished work of the blood of the Lord. I just said, Jesus, save me. And do you know what the Lord did? I didn't know enough to say all those things. And if we're not careful, we think we know everything we need to know, and we miss the Lord. So, many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman. Notice verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So here come the Samaritans that put their faith in him, and now they're saying to him, come. So the disciples are watching these Samaritans coming to the Lord. And he was just talking about a harvest. Do you think, where do they come? Trusting the Lord. That's the harvest. And the disciples that are thinking about physical food are now watching this harvest come in. They didn't do anything about it, did they? The Lord did it all. And the Lord says, I want to bring you into that. Now watch this. Verse 41, and many more. Remember, he abode there 2 days. So while he's there, and many more believed because of his own word. Many believed because of the woman's word. See, listen, there was salvation because of the Lord's testimony to this one lost person. And then that one lost woman that got saved went back into her town and told a whole bunch of other people, and they came and got saved by her witness. Amen. And then they come back out, and it says here, verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. Now they're hearing the word of the Lord. And they and notice, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. Listen to this, and what? No. And know that this indeed is the Christ. Question, do you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Who told you that? Better come from the Lord. He's the only one that can tell you. And you don't hear it, you don't see it, but you know it, don't you? You know it. And he said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. How did they know that? How did they know that? The Lord gave them light. How will we know what we need to know? How will we know? We need the Lord, don't we? To give us light. Lord, more light. I mean, it's important to study the Word of God, but we need the light of God to give us wisdom and understanding. And so this morning, God wants us to know the importance of God's testimony in our life. Listen, could that woman have gone to the well, just seen the Lord, got her water, and went back and told the people? She had nothing to tell until the Lord got involved in her life. You and I, even though we're saved, listen, do you think she was excited about her relationship, her new relationship with the Lord? Do you think the men were excited? Do you think they wanted to draw nearer to the Lord? But here's what happens if we're not careful. We can grow stale. We can grow old, if we don't think we need more from the Lord that brings that excitement. See, God wants to illuminate our understanding. And we need him to do that. You can study the Word of God, but we need the Spirit of God to make that come to life in our lives. Not only for our benefits, but also for the benefit of others. Because when the Holy Spirit is engaged, did Peter know how to speak after the Spirit of God came on him and he preached? And then he told them, he says, why do you look at me as by our own power we've made this man to walk? Did Peter know exactly what to say to that man? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he went up leaping and praising God. Let me ask you this morning. Do we want that kind of joy? Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. And if we ask him, does God want us to have that joy? So we want it, and God wants to give it to us. Amen. One more thing to do. Got to ask him. Right? Got to ask him. And so God says, come to me and see if I don't pour out a blessing that you can't receive. Amen? We serve a great and mighty big God. Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the reminder of your great love for us and for the lost. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds that would engage our hearts, Lord, to call upon you and to seek you. And Lord, that you might show us and reveal to us your truths and your light in our life, Lord, that the world might see the difference you make. Lord, bless the invitation. Build your church, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.